2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's read it together now, please. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day you've given us. God, we are so thankful and appreciative of those who've sacrificed their lives for the freedoms that we have today. And Father, I just feel so impressed to thank you for these men and women that are sacrificing so much for us so that we could have this liberty and this freedom today where we are listening to the Word of God preached. Now, Father, help us not take it lightly by not paying attention to what the pastor says today. God, help us to hear what the Word of God has for us and be open to it and willing to do what the Word of God says. And Father, if there's one person in this room that does not know, if there's two people or more that does not know for sure that they're going to heaven when they die, that today they would settle that before they leave. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate so we will not hear it. If it goes off during the service, here's what will happen. It won't work anymore after that. It'll go off one time, you'll turn it off, and it'll never work again. And every phone you buy thereafter will not work. God will put that curse upon you. So if you're connected like most people are, indelibly, inevitably, eternally, to your cell phone, you don't want it to go off during the service. That will be it for you and cell service the rest of your life. And so help us with that and help yourself. Would you please? I want you to sit and listen very carefully this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, God is a God of order. God created everything that we see. I'm sorry if you believe that we evolved from the slime pits of eons of years ago. I'm sorry if you embrace the concept that when you go to the zoo, you throw peanuts to your relatives. I'm sorry about that. It's fascinating to me. We're supposed to, if we've evolved, we came from the water to human beings. The Bible says we're created from the dust of the earth by God. When you die, you go back to the dust of the earth. I think God got the last word on that. You don't turn into water when you die. You turn into dirt. But anyway, God is a God of order. He created everything. And he did it in a certain order of things. And since then, everything has been run according to the order of God's creation. The seasons follow their time. Unless you live in Reading, you go from spring to summer without 24-hour notice. But other than that, truth of the matter is the seasons run on a course. The sun rises in the east, sets in the west. Earth revolves at a certain rotation. Planets are in their course. God is a God of order, people. Now, I want you, that's not a deep thought, but I want you to listen carefully. And since God created us, he created us as his people, as his creatures, to be a people who understand the importance of things have to be done in a certain order for it to be right. See, what's happening a lot today in people's lives is they're missing certain steps in their life. And they're bypassing things that they need to, decisions they need to make, steps in their lives that they need to take. They're bypassing those. And they're getting things so out of order in their life that their life follows suit. And consequently, their lives are just in disarray. And when you begin to present biblical principles to these people, Christians or not, too many of them want to bypass things. They want to skip a certain step and go on to something else. But ladies and gentlemen, God is a God of order. And if you're going to follow the Word of God, you're going to find that God has everything in the Word of God. It's an amazing book. It is God's Word. It is His perfect revealed Word to us today. And everything that's in that, there should have been more amens than that. Unless it's not a Bible-believing church. I believe it's a Bible-believing church. I know you got a Bible-believing preacher this morning. The Word of God is perfect, ladies and gentlemen. It is all given by God, inspired and preserved and kept for us today so we would have that. But when you take the Bible and you start to apply Bible principles to your life, there is an order to things that have to be done in a certain order. And you can't skip steps and it turn out right. I was talking with a young person this week and their life is out of order. And they know it. And they want to get their life back in order. I said, okay, here's what you need. 1, 2, 3, 4. And I said, and don't skip any steps. I want to talk to you this morning along that line about don't miss a step. It's interesting. You ladies that know how to bake and to cook things, everything has to be done in a certain order for it to come out right. You don't just shove it all in the oven and pray at 350 degrees that somehow or another it'll turn out the way it's supposed to turn out. Everything has to be done in a certain step, a certain order of things, correct? Gentlemen, you understand that. We work on something, automobiles, whatever the case may be. There's a certain step of things. They have to be taken care of. You tear an engine apart and then put it back together and you have a bunch of parts left over. That's not good. You missed something. And as soon as you turn the key, you're going to find out what it was that you missed because you missed a step. Life is that way. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't skip childhood, your teenage years, and just decide you're an adult. And you can't become an adult and go back and start acting like a child. That's ridiculous also. There are certain, everything that works right works in a certain order, and we have to be careful to not miss a step. For example, our verse this morning. Look at that verse. It's a familiar verse to God's people. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Question, who would not like to be a new person? The word creature in the Bible here means creation. Just like God's creative work, God can make somebody a brand new person. God can do that. Now, I know a lot of people who've changed their life without God or by philosophies or isms or religions that really aren't biblical or correct, and I've seen people change their life that way. But nobody can make a new creation but God. God's the only one who can take something out, make something out of nothing. Now, who wouldn't like to be a new creature? I mean a brand new person. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, the Bible said. Oh, wait a minute. And there's other benefit. It says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, who wouldn't like to put their past behind them, bury all that stuff that ever happened, that didn't happen, that shouldn't have happened, get it, let it go, let the old pass away. And who wouldn't like to have a brand new start in life? All things become new. So there's a desirable thing, right? Unless you're already perfect and you're everything you're supposed to be and you don't have anything in your past you wish that wasn't there and you have all the expectations for anything new, you've already got all that anyway, so it's not new, by the way. But if that's the case, but for every one of us this morning with any good sense, who wouldn't like to be a new creature? Who wouldn't like to have old things pass away and all things become new? Well, of course we'd want that. I'm 56 years old. I don't want to go back and start over again. I don't understand people who say, well, I'd like to be a teenager again. Are you out of your cotton picking mind? No, thank you. Start all or be a teenager again? No, thank you. No, I wouldn't want to be 45 again. I wouldn't want to be 55 again. I got to 56 and I earned every cotton picking day of this thing. I'm staying right where I am. I expect to get older, but I don't want to back up and no, I don't want to start all over again. No, thank you. And the truth is, if you had it all to do all over again, you'd just make new mistakes. You would make the same dumb ones, you might even at that. But the truth is, no. But ladies and gentlemen, when I'm talking about old things pass away, all things become new, that's a prospect that's too rich to pass up. But you can't miss the important step here. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We got all kinds of folks, religion or irreligious, people with philosophies, doctrines, and they're all trying to make something new out of themselves. That's the big thing now. You want to sell a lot of books? Write a book on how to make yourself a new person. You want to sell self-help, self-improvement, all that kind of stuff? Big stuff today. Big, big. Whether it's your weight, how to go from whatever you are to wherever you want to be and stay there. And everybody's diet. All these diets work, by the way. They do. They just don't last. That's the problem. The average person gains their weight back and more within 4 to 5 years of their so-called diet. So if it's a diet thing or if it's this, that's, Ladies and gentlemen, listen, we got people out there today trying to do everything under the planet to make themselves a different person, make their life new, get rid of the old, all that stuff, and they're bypassing God's important step of, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That statement, simple little statement, in Christ in the Bible, is talking about a spiritual position. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God puts you in Christ. He does that. You don't do that. He does that. You can't. It didn't say in church. Didn't say in religion. Didn't say in the baptistry. It said in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's a spiritual position you are placed in for the moment you receive Christ as your Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Bible says we are spiritually speaking, we are baptized or placed in Christ. Not water baptism, spirit baptism, ad regeneration. When you're born again, when you trust Christ, God puts you in Christ. And when that happens, you become a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Don't pass that step up. Now, you can't do that. You can change who you are, but only God can make you a new who you are. Only God can change you. Only God can make you different. Only God can make you a different person, and you can't miss the step. So now look at me. You can go to church all Sunday if you want to. Go to every church on this planet. Believe everything the Bible says you're supposed to believe. Cross all the doctrinal T's and dot all the doctrinal I's and still be a lost person until you come to Christ and accept Him as your Savior. Now that's an event that takes place when you trust Jesus as payment on the cross for your salvation and you ask Him to save you. Then God puts you in Christ. And then God makes you a new creature. And then God enables the old to pass away. And God enables the new to come again. Now look at me this morning. Friend, if you have a hard time shaking the old life, you just can't get rid of it. You just can't seem to get loose from the old life. You can't seem to get the old habits out of your life. I need you to look this morning very carefully at your salvation, not your practice, not your philosophy, not your belief. You need to check your salvation out this morning. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ. That's a great promise there. Any man. That means anybody. That's not just men now. It's talking about human race. Anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place who comes to God, trusts Christ, God will make them a new person. It also means this. Anyone who does that will become a new creature. Now, I'm not here to be what they call it, being a fruit inspector. I'm not here to inspect the fruit of your life. God doesn't admonish us to do that. He admonishes us to check the fruit of false teachers in Matthew chapter 12. But you need to check the quality, the condition of your own soul this morning. If you can't get rid of the old life, if you can't begin to embrace what God has for you to be and become in your life, you need to check your soul. You need to find out, did I really settle this thing about salvation and trusting Jesus Christ as my Savior? That's what you need to find out. Because you can reform all you want to and change all you like, but only God can make you a new creature. And that happens at salvation. If any man be in Christ, he is, not will be, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Don't miss that step now. You want a new life? You got to be in Christ. Don't miss the step. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19. I'm going to ask you to move around the scripture with me for a moment. So I did that, Pastor Johnson. I trusted Christ as my Savior. What I'm needing today is the help and the blessing of God in my life. Good. Then you're a smart person. Only a dummy would not want God to bless them. But as with all of God's blessings, there are always requirements to His blessings. Go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, Old Testament, please. Isaiah, and look at chapter 1 and verse number 19. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 19 this morning. We're talking about not missing any steps now, not bypassing anything. Average child of God in this room, if I was to ask you, do you need the blessing of God in your life? You'd say, oh yes, most definitely. And by the way, you have been blessed. You're in church this morning. You have been blessed. You live in America. You have been blessed. God has given you the liberties and freedoms to come to this place. You have been blessed. You got a Bible in your hand this morning. You have been blessed. You have the health to be here today. You have been blessed. I guarantee you had something to eat if you wanted it this morning. You had a roof over your head, clothes on your back. You have been blessed. You have been mightily blessed in your life. But do we ever get to the place in our life where we have enough blessings? No, God needs to continue to bless and to help and to work in our lives. Okay, look at Isaiah 1, chapter 1. Look at verse 19. Simple statement here. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. When God makes that statement, the good of the land, he's talking about the fact to his children, he's saying, I have the very best planned and prepared for you. That's the good of the land. And he said, the good of the land is also an expression that means I will make sure that there is a permanence to my help and blessing in your life. Not that you won't have troubles and difficulties, but God will always be there with provision and ability to take care of you. The good of the land. Now, who doesn't want that? Who doesn't need that? The second bestseller besides self-improvement and self-help books is How to Increase What You Have and What You Are. Huh? Money grabbers, how to get, oh my soul, you want to learn how to take a buck and turn it into $1 million? Here's the plan. My plan. You know what his plan is, by the way? Selling you books at $34.95. And the more of those you buy, the richer he gets. Then he can write book number two, How I Made $2 Million Off Your $34.95 That You Sold. Because if you check these guys out, the truth of the matter is they're not that successful. In their personal lives, there are very few of them are as successful in any way, shape, form, fashion, or other. And they made a fortune off selling you books, How to Get You Rich, and they made themselves that way. You know, the truth is this morning, ladies and gentlemen, God's provision, ability, blessing, the good of the land that is before us has a very important step to it. Verse 19, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Every blessing God has for us always has a condition attached to it. Say, well, it cost me something. Well, did you think something is good and it's important that the blessing of God would just be given away? First of all, let me say it one more time. You and I receive blessings of God every day of our lives and fail to realize it. Look, folks, we bow our heads and pray before we eat, and we call it, let's say the blessing. And simply, we're thanking God for the provision he has put in front of us. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is, God says, if you want to eat the good of the land, where I will have my very best for you, you want to eat the good of the land, he said, where I'll make sure that I have provided for you and take care of you in a permanent way in your life, you want that? He said, I ask two things of you. Don't miss these steps. You must be willing and you must be obedient. Oh, I see, Pastor Johnson. So if I just do what I'm told, God will bless me. No, he didn't say that. He said you got to be willing and obedient. Every parent has dealt with that before. Son, take out the trash. Oh, man! All right. And he goes over and gets the trash bag and he pulls out of the trash can in the kitchen. And he opens the door and he stomps around the side of the house and he kicks the lid off the trash can, throws the trash in the trash bag, puts the lid back on top of that, comes back in the house, forgets to put the bag back in the trash thing. You have to tell him, put the bag in the bag. Oh, yeah. And he puts that in the bag and then he goes off to his room. Any good parent's going to be right behind that boy, right behind him, and going to adjust his attitude. Because taking the trash out is one thing. Taking the trash out with a good attitude, we're all not tortured like we got a terrorist in our house, is a whole nother issue. Yes? Because look at me, a good parent expects their children to be willing and obedient. Oh yeah, they'll wash the dishes, fine. And then stand there and cry like they've been tortured, like it's going through, like it's the end of days, like there's no hope in life because they gotta wash the dishes. And the sad part is you got a stupid dishwasher. And all they got to do is rinse them off and put them in the dishwasher. And the dishwasher most likely will wash the stupid things for you. And it's amazing, isn't it? And you don't put up with that. A good parent doesn't tolerate just obedience. Yes? You are concerned about attitude as well as obedience. But then the day comes when you walk to the kitchen and the trash is already emptied. And you go, who took out the trash? Boy raises his hand. I did, Dad. Who are you and what did you do with my son? Give him back to me. Son, you took the trash out? Did Mom tell you? No, sir. You mean you just walked past it and you saw it? I think I'm going to cry. You did? Yes, sir. Question, which one do you think evokes the pleasure of a father or a parent? Obedience or willing obedience? See, look at me. We want God's best while we give him our least. Listen now. Come on. We want God's best Well, we give him our least. Okay, what do you want him in church? Really? Seriously? And God is supposed to look down from heaven and go, well, at least they're there. Well, I didn't get drunk last night. Okay, that's good. I'm glad you didn't. But question, you mean to tell me that's the extent of what you expect to give to God while he is supposed to give you the good of the land? His best, his provision, his care. And God's supposed to just pour out all this stuff on us while we do the minimum of our expectation and requirement of God, if we even do that part. And then if we do, we don't even have to have a good attitude about it. We'll just say, okay, fine. That's just the way it is. That's the way I'll do it then. And then God's supposed to say, well, that's wonderful. I'll bless the fire out of that guy. Really? No, that's why he said you must be willing and obedient. Look, Psalm 119, verse 165. The Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. God didn't just say love in the Bible telling you what to do. Doing what the Bible said you're supposed to do. He said to love it. Absolutely love it. Okay, illustration. It's like driving down the road and seeing a speed limit sign when you're in a hurry. And it says 35 miles. First of all, whoever makes up these speed limit signs must not drive the same roads I'm driving. Seriously. Most of those speed limits, frankly, are about 40 miles an hour under what they should be. Maybe 30. Except for neighborhoods. My neighborhood. Loving the law of God simply means you see the speed limit sign, you go, okay, not only will I obey that speed limit sign, I'm thankful for that speed limit sign. I'm glad that speed limit sign is there. That speed limit sign is there for my safety, my watch care, and to take care of me. And if it wasn't for the fact that I was in a big hurry, I would do exactly what that... No, that's not what it means. It means you love the law of God. It means you look at the Bible. When the Bible says, thou shalt, you go, okay, yep, okay, that's what it says. Good. I'm good with that. Because that's what the Bible told me to do. And you don't tolerate it, you love it. When the Bible says, no, you can't do that, you go, okay, fine. But I'm not sure it's this dispensation, Pastor Johnson. And after all, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. I'm not sure it was meant for this day and time in which we live. And I just want to be theologically correct. And what? Oh, come on, man. You know that sorry, sad stuff. It's the issue of willingness and obedience. Don't miss the step now. You want God's best? Seriously. And you want that. You want that in your life. You want it in your marriage. You want it in your family. You want it in your workplace. We got to have God's best in America, ladies and gentlemen. I don't ask God to bless America anymore. I don't. I ask God to help our nation to wake up. We're already a nation choking on the blessings of God and not giving him any credit for it. So now God needs to help us today. I love my country. I love America. But I don't know why we expect God to prevent oil spills, natural disasters, catastrophes that strike our nation while we turn our backs on God. How can we expect God to bless America? Why would God bless America? That he does in the way he does now is evidence of the mercy of God. But where's the willing obedience on America's part? Where's the willing obedience in your part today? Look at me now. You want God's best and his provision, then you got to be willing and obedient. Where it's not like it's Memorial Day weekend. I guess I'll still make my appearance at church. I'll show up and let them view the spiritual relic that I am. Participate. I'll bless them by being there. Then we get them to go home and wonder why we're struggling in so many areas in our life. If you be willing and obedient. The Bible says, don't miss the step now. If you want God's best, guess what that means? You've got to give him your best. Just your best. You don't have to give what I give, and I don't have to give what you give. I just have to be... Mike Johnson has to be willing to say, okay, God, this is what I'm supposed to do with my life, and this is what you want from me, then I'm yours. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. He paid for me. He gave me full, free salvation. I got that now, and I belong to him. All I have is Jesus. It's all about him now. And if he wants something from me, that's fine. That's fine. I have a custom, a habit, when I'm traveling somewhere, or here in town either, if I see him, I see a young person, a young man, young lady in uniform in an airport or restaurant somewhere, I buy their meal. I always buy their meal. I was in, last week I was in Dallas, and I was in a restaurant there eating. A young man came in his fatigues, and he had his wife with him. And I asked the waitress, I said, that young couple over there, make sure I get their check for me. Don't tell them I did that. Just make sure I get their check. A couple of minutes later, about six of them walked in. I thought, the word's out in the hallway. They're all coming in here. I'm about to go. I got to get out of this restaurant before I go broke. And then two more, I said, well, Lord, you're going to have to take care of those guys. I take care of this couple right over here. And I wrote on the little tract that I gave them, I told them, I said, from a thankful American. Because I appreciate that. I got to go on an airplane, fly somewhere, go back home. They had to go somewhere else and stay away from their families. I appreciated that very much. God gave me salvation. I owe him more than I could ever repay him. And ladies and gentlemen, can't we just be willing and obedient at the same time? God says, if you are, I'll bless you for it. Don't miss the step. Go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, please, very quickly now. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1. Don't miss the steps this morning. Don't bypass anything. Don't skip stuff. You don't go to a restaurant and eat dessert first. You should. At my age, I do. I'm going to do it from now on. I'm just going to eat dessert first. I don't even buy green bananas. It's getting bad. I mean, you have an order of things. First, you have to eat salad. Whoever came up with that idea, I have no idea. Then you have to get to the main course. Everything has steps to it. Isn't that fascinating? Romans 12 and verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be it transformed by the renewing of your mind. Look at that verse in verse 2, into that statement, please, at verse 2. That ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You want to know what God's plan for your life is. You do. I think I was 10 or 11 years of age, and I was sitting in a church, and a preacher said, God has a plan for your life, and he has designed a specific plan just for you. And I sat there as a kid, and I thought to myself, my soul, God in heaven drew up a plan for Mike Johnson. And that plan, ladies and gentlemen, not only lasts for this life, but it lasts for eternity. God has your forever planned out in the will of God. You think about that. And God has that same plan, will of God, for every individual that has ever lived. That's a big God, people. That's a very big God. We got a government that can't remember our names or how to balance a book, but God can remember this stuff. It's incredible, ladies and gentlemen, how God has this plan designed. And he has one for every person that's ever lived. And it's for every person for eternity. Well, not everybody's going to heaven, Pastor Johnson. I agree with that. But he still has a plan designed. God's infinite wisdom. He has this. Do you understand this morning that the Bible then says you can come. The word prove what is the good acceptable. The word prove means put to the test to find out for yourself that it's good, acceptable, and perfect. This plan. There's nothing like going to bed at night, pillowing your head and knowing you're right in the center of what God put you on this earth for. Nothing like that. That's incredible. There's nothing more satisfying, nothing more enriching, nothing more glorious, nothing. There's nothing as fulfilling your purpose for being on this earth. Well, I can figure that out on my own. And you know that's not right, and you know that's where you make your mistakes, because that's where I made mine. Every mistake I ever made in my life was outside the will of God. Never made a mistake following the Bible. Never found a failure or flaw in the will of God in my life. Not one time. So you're saying you're perfect. Didn't say that. I said, all my mistakes are outside the will of God, and so are yours. But now wait a minute. But to come to find out what that good, acceptable, and perfect plan is, there's a step you have to take. And that's verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Simply put, you have to give it all to God, and you have to do it every day. When they brought an animal to the tabernacle or to the temple for sacrifice, for either sin or thanksgiving offering, etc., when they brought that animal's throat was slit, their blood was shed, their body was burned on the altar. It was a complete sacrifice. So I understand the concept of sacrifice. That's an analogy of what I'm supposed to do. Present myself completely. Your body, a living sacrifice. That's your body, which houses your soul, which houses your spirit, which is the all of you. That's it. The whole package. But a living sacrifice could be given every day and should be given every day. Now then, if I take the step of willingly yielding myself to God, everything I am and everything about me, Mike Johnson, I'm willing to give it all to God. God says, then you'll come to find out what you're on this earth for. You'll come to know for yourself what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God for your life. Well, I'd like to know that plan, Pastor Johnson. You don't have to wonder about it. You'll know it. Are you yielded to Him fully and completely? Here's what we do, though. Today, we give ourselves to God to a degree. Certain parts, you know what I mean? I'll give Him a Sunday, throw Him a bone on a Wednesday, you know. Might even get, you know, read a little Bible every here and there and kind of not do the bad stuff too much. And that's good enough. That's good enough. Yeah, I didn't need to mess around with all the rest of the stuff in my life. I have plans. I have plans. Oh, your will versus God's will. Okay, let me see now. My plan, God's plan. Human being, fails, flawed, weak, stupid. Or God's plan, perfect, eternal, exact, designed by the Creator of the universe. I wonder which one would be best. We'll have to think on that now. Maybe we'll bring it up again next week. You're going to be kidding me. God's plan. God, who thought about you, designed a plan for your life here and for eternity. And God's plan is available. But He says there's a step you have to take. You got to yield everything. All of it. Well, nobody does that, Pastor Johnson. Yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do. There are some. Anyone in the will of God has yielded themselves completely to God's will. Now, here's what we do. Some of us today, we have never really done that in our life. You've accepted Christ as your Savior. But frankly, you've never really yielded it all to God. You never have. You've always held something here. Okay, God, you can have all this stuff out here, but I'm keeping this right here. This right here, that's keeping you from knowing what God put you on this earth to do. Some of us, we've never made that decision. Some of us today, we have made that decision and have completely yielded ourselves to God only to take it back or stop doing it. Because we got to a certain point where we felt like that's just too much to ask. Let me see. Too much to ask of the one who gave you eternal life that you didn't deserve, a gift that you didn't have to pay for, forgiveness that you could never deserve, that one who's asking too much, who washed your sins away and saved you from hell and gave you eternal life, that one, he's asking too much. At some point, for some of us, we got to the place where we yielded it all and then somebody came along and said or did something and we took it back. A living sacrifice is yielded to God fully and completely, no reservations, no hesitations. If you do that, guess what? You'll find out why you're on this earth. Every breath you will take, you'll know you're exactly where God wants you to be, doing exactly what God wants you to do. And there is no life outside of that life that's ever as satisfying as what God has given you. Because let's face it, folks, we got one shot at this life. We can't wake up later on and go, oops, I should have, too late, then it got past you. Don't miss that step, though. And you'll prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You'll find it out for yourself. I like to go to Outback on occasion. I think they got one of the best steaks on the planet. As Brother Evans very ably pointed out, you only really need meat. I went in there one day and I was craving that peppery flavor on that steak. It was working on me. And they brought that steak out. And I sliced into that thing and I put it in my mouth. And I don't know what that was, ladies and gentlemen, but it was not good meat. It was rancid. I mean bad. My taste buds were in the background going, no way. I spit it out. You say you're not supposed to do that. You put that in your mouth, you'd spit it out too. I called the waitress over. I said, something's wrong with this steak. I don't know what it is. I said, she goes, oh, I'm sorry. I said, hey, it's okay. You didn't cook it. No problem, but I can't eat it, okay? Well, we'll get you another one. I said, by the time everyone else is already eating, I said, by the time you're done and bring it back, we'll all be done. I'll just lean over and look at people. If these guys don't care, I'll move to another table and I'll look at those people. Oh, I came to find out. I proved that steak was not good. I found out for myself. You'll find out why God put you here, friend. You understand? You don't want to miss that. But say, Pastor Johnson, that's too much to ask to yield everything to God in exchange for a perfect plan, an acceptable plan, a good plan. No, it's not too much. But don't miss the step and expect to reach over in the will of God and pull out the parts you want, because He doesn't do that. Don't miss the steps this morning, friend. Would you please? Let's stand to our feet, would you?